Hello and welcome to The Sound Off, a podcast where school safety takes center stage. My name is Michelle Gay, and I'm the co-founder and executive director of Safe and Sound Schools. We're committed to protecting every school and every student every day. And today we're diving deep into the journey from trauma to healing in the context of school communities. Before we dive into our discussion, I'd like to take a moment to thank our sponsors for their support. This season of The Sound Off is brought to you by the Door Security and Safety Foundation, which advances the critical role of certified professionals in creating safe and secure building openings. For more information and to locate an expert, visit www.doorsecuritysafety.org. Joining me today is Missy Dodds, a dedicated teacher who has stood by her students for 20 years, offering them guidance and support as they navigate the aftermath of trauma. In our conversation, Missy shares her wisdom on the resilience of the human spirit, drawing inspiration from literature and her own experiences. Listen in as she shares profound insights on her personal journey, the strength of her students, and the broader importance of community support in paving the path to recovery. Well, hello and welcome, Missy Dodds. Thanks for joining us at The Sound Off.
Oh, thank you, Michelle. I'm so excited that I get to be here today.
So you know, because I warned you that we always like to start off a little bit silly on The Sound Off with a funny question. And this is our funny question. What is your superpower, or one of them? Because I happen to know that you are multi-talented, but what's that crazy, odd, seemingly useless task that gives everybody a little window into who is Missy Dodds?
I can talk with my eyes. In other words, when my kids are acting up, all it takes is just a glance. The same with students when I taught. I didn't even have to say a word. I could just look at you and you would know exactly. So that's kind of a superpower that I have. And it works nicely when you're in church or teaching a class, something like that.
That is awesome. And that's probably part of what makes you a great speaker for us at Safe and Sound. The way that you convey your story, your experiences, which I want to get into, let's just dive right in. We in the Safe and Sound community know and love you very well, but we are always growing and adding new people who love schools and love kids and want everybody to be safe and sound. So for those who don't know you already, you know, would you take us back, share a little bit of who you are and how you got here?
Sure. I'm a wife, a mom, a former high school math teacher, and I am now in a role I never, ever dreamed of, and that is teaching school safety instead of math. It was 18 years ago on Monday, March 21st, 2005. I was a ninth grade math teacher at Red Lake High School in Red Lake, Minnesota. I loved my job. I loved my students. I still love my students. I love going to Walmart because I see my students. And on March 21st, 2005, a former student shot his way into my classroom. He killed five of my babies and a coworker before taking his own life. And I was not physically injured in the school shooting, but on the inside, I was a complete and total wreck. And it has been quite the journey these past 18 years. The first feelings that I talk about is the numbness. You cannot fathom. It's not something you plan for. It's not something that's in your wildest dream. As a matter of fact, the year before, I had assured the secretary at school that this could never happen at our school. We have no worries. And lo and behold, we let a kid slip through the cracks. And it happened. And sometimes to this day, still, I have trouble wrapping my head around the fact that I am a survivor of a high school shooting.
It's so much to process. Just, I mean, I've heard you talk about it and you do so eloquently and with a sense of humility and humor, even just helping us to understand what your experience was like. It's just a really brave thing that I want to thank you for, because it's really helping people in our greater community, our national and even international community, to understand how important this work is and that everybody has a part in it. There's so much that each and every one of us needs to do to contribute to making sure that somebody doesn't slip through the cracks, and that even if, God forbid, somebody does, that we are prepared. You know, we are prepared to protect innocent lives, to protect teachers and students. And it's a tremendous thing that you have done to take those experiences and share them with others so that they might never have that day in their community.
That is my goal. And that is one reason I just love working with Safe and Sound. We all have it in our heart. I love to say I found my people.
You did.
But it's absolutely true. It's what I have spent. I became a mom about 12, 13 years ago. And the first question was, are you going to let your kids go to school? And I wanted to because I loved school. I was a school teacher. I did my 16 years time and wanted to keep going. And I loved being a teacher and I wanted my kids to have that experience. So that was kind of the first step that I did, was letting my kids go to school. And I always tell the story of my daughter on her first day of kindergarten. All the other parents were crying, but not me, because I was like, oh, I so proud of myself. And this is so exciting. And okay, I did cry, but it was tears of joy because I was so proud of myself. I was like, I'm letting my kid go. So then a few years later, when my boys got ready to go, I let them go as well. And super excited because the freedom of not having kids at home. And that lasted about 2 weeks. And then the scariness came in and, oh my goodness, I know I can drop them off and I know they may not be there when it's time to pick up. And that put me in a whole new level.
It does. It is a different lens. It's a different backdrop on everything, just viewing the world differently and understanding that nothing is guaranteed in this world. That doesn't stop us, you know. We're going to continue the good work and we're going to continue to try to elevate the amazing things that so many are doing to make sure schools are safe and sound. But it's real. It's real.
It is. And then I got a wake-up call from you when I heard you say that school safety is not the responsibility of one person, but the responsibility of the entire community. And I was like, oh, she's talking to me, because before that time, I was kind of like, okay, it's on the superintendent. They need to keep my kids' school safe. And I'm going to go in there and tell them what you know. And then I realized, whoa, 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 step back. And when you said that, that really was a game changer for me.
And honestly, for your community, because you took that to heart and went right to your school and you were like, hey, I'm on the team. What do you need? How can I help? I'm pushing up my sleeves. I'm committed. And you have done amazing things for your kids' schools, for your community, and continue to, for your school babies, as you call them, just staying connected and plugged in and amazing, amazing work. Really taking a lot of the tools that we've created at Safe and Sound and many that you have added to the mix as well and bringing them into your community so that that work can be a team sport, as we like to say, right?
Yes, absolutely. And what is so unique about my community and my schools, some of my daughter's friends are some of my students' kids. So it's really, in a way, it's giving me a chance to not only help my own kids stay safe, but I'm getting to help my school babies' kids stay safe. I was not able to maybe protect my former students and their friends that day, but you know what? I can work hard and I can help protect their kids as well as my own kids. And it does really give me a piece of peace, if that makes sense, a comfort in knowing that there is something, we're trying.
I relate to that very, very profoundly, very deeply, because I wish, and you do too, I know, because we've talked about this, if we could go back, if there was some way to go back in time and undo what was done, what I wouldn't give. That's not the way of this world. But what can we do? You know, rather than being stuck in there's nothing that we can do. I can't fix it. What can we do though? And how can we then honor those that we have lost in the process? There's some healing and helping for sure.
There is. And I love what you just said about go back in time. I literally spent the first year, if not the first 3-4 years, trying to figure a way to time travel. I mean, in, you know, there is some trauma, post-traumatic stress disorder, all of those things. But somehow in my mind, I just remember constantly going, okay, there's got to be a way to go back. There's got to be a way to go back. I can change things. I can do things. And I think that's part of the trauma that unfortunately follows you when something as traumatic as either a school shooting or actually, I mean, anything traumatic. I never say there's levels of trauma. I mean, trauma is trauma.
So I want to go back to a word that you used a little while ago in this conversation. You used the word survivor. And I feel like that's a good place for us to kind of pause and establish some common ground. What does it mean to be a survivor? What are some kind of common, what's that common ground, some common understandings? And then what are some common myths maybe and misconceptions about what it means to be a survivor? Because I think you know it from multiple angles, if I can say.
When I tell my story and when I look back, I was a victim at first. And that was hard for me to accept personally. Number one, victims are vulnerable. Victims have to ask for help. They can't do everything themselves. And you have to remember high school math teachers and high school math and science teachers are a little special people. We just are kind of strong-willed. And so humbling experience for me personally as a victim was having to realize that I needed help. And I mean, and I needed help with my classroom. When I went back to school a few weeks after the shooting, I could not be in a classroom by myself with kids because I was so scared of what happened last time, excuse me, that I was alone with students that I'm like, I can't be responsible. I can't, you know, the guilt, the insecurity, even being a victim there. I did not have physical injuries, as I said earlier. Fighting the mental health battle, luckily in 18 years, we've come a long way. But having to listen to the people, the expectations that I should just get over it, that I should just move on, that it's been 6 months, it's been a year, it's, you know, whatever the timeline other people set for you, that was extremely hard. And then also when you're in a victim stage, which we're all in victims, you know, anything very traumatic, it's not bad. It's just where you are. It just is what it is. When you're in a victim stage, you lose so much. See, I talk about having lost my identity. We all identify with our jobs, believe it or not. And so I did not go back to teaching. And what was my identity? You know, when you meet somebody, it's like, oh, hi, I'm Missy Dodds, and this is what I do for a living. And I had nothing to say. And that was really, really hard for me. So in that victim stage, you have to be willing to take help, whether it's somebody coming in and cleaning up your house or somebody, you know, saying, hey, Missy, you know, let me help you buy your groceries or anything like that. And it is really hard to be in a victim state. It is, but we're all there after a trauma and it's okay to be there. It's okay.
That was a hard lesson for me too. And I'm a different kind of survivor. I was not, you know, surviving the trauma and the loss of my child and knowing what her trauma was and her sister's trauma and, you know, one of her sisters having been there, you know, and the other also in fear for her life. And it is interesting how it takes such different shapes. You were literally, though, in harm's way. I mean, but for a fluke, you know, that firearm was pointed at you. And so there is a very, very serious trauma injury. You know, you talk about not having been physically injured, but I believe at some point in science, they're going to recognize that that is some kind of brain injury. To experience that kind of trauma, what that does physiologically, I think, to your brain and your body, on top of what you witnessed, on top of the experience of having literally seen those precious babies, you know, the light of your life and your coworker. So many layers, I guess, is what I'm getting at. You know, there's so many layers to being a victim, being a survivor. And even I think that survivor word can be so loaded, like, oh, but you're a survivor. You didn't get injured, thank God. Yes. And you're alive, thank God. And, you know, everything's going to be fine. You're going to be okay. And you're not.
Those were such hard words to hear. And they are still very hard words when someone, and I know they're well-meaning, so I would, you know, but when someone says, oh, well, you know, there's a reason that you weren't killed, or, you know, you're lucky. And I'm like, I'm not lucky. Do you know what I'm having to deal with? You know, there were days, I mean, to be completely honest with you, I thought, this is my punishment, was surviving, you know, living through the school shooting. This was my punishment.
Yeah, it's almost like the price of surviving, right? I deserve this. I have to carry this cross, whatever that thought process is. I've heard you talk about it before, and it's heavy. It's a lot to carry. But I've seen something amazing happen in you over the years that we've been working together, and that is this restoration of your own power, that you get to say who you are and what you do. And you do have an identity, and you still are a teacher, and you have so much to offer the world, you know. And I mean, gosh, there's a lot of different titles now, you know, author, speaker, mother, all of these different things that you have done, advocate, that sense of agency and who you are, and also your ability to define what all of this means or looks like to you has been a wonderful thing to be able to witness.
Thank you. What all you just described is how I went from a victim to a survivor. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so important that people realize this, that it's okay to be a victim and it's okay to be a survivor. And being a survivor for me was taking back my voice. Knowing, I mean, because some of the thoughts I've had, you know, will people want their kids to be friends with my kids because of what I experienced? Mm-hmm. Will the schools be okay with my kids going to their school because, you know.
You're that mom. Yeah.
I am that mom. I wear that shirt. I am that mom, but that's okay. That's okay. It's who Missy Dodds is now. So by being a survivor, I feel like I've been able to take action to help others. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. That has pulled, and that does my soul very well, because still at heart, I'm a teacher. I did lose it for a few years, and that's okay. But, you know, I used to line my baby dolls up, and I started teaching when I was 4 years old, is what I always like to tell people. I had a baby doll named Sally. This is kind of off topic. I had a baby doll named Sally, and I had a student named Sally. And I'm like, honey, I've been teaching Sally for like 20 years. So we're all good. So getting that back, seeing that I still have that inside of me, that it wasn't killed that day, that part of me, that's what being a survivor is. And it takes time. And I hate when people tell you it takes time.
I'm right there with you.
As I watch friends and family members go through very traumatic events, you know, they, well, what's the timeline? And, you know, I just...
Don't talk to me about time. I know.
Right? Because it's like time is just stands still.
It does.
And when the rest of the world moves on and you're still...
Yep. Watching it spinning around you, and it is just you're literally frozen.
As a teacher, I look back too, and I think of a lot of the students that we have today that are coming to school with trauma. And I just think, how are we going to help them? Because I was a grown-up, so to speak, and I just think, wow, how do kids wrap their minds around trauma and how do we help them?
And there's that teacher. It's still there. It's amazing. And maybe even by design, somehow it is so relevant and so timely. You know, I watch you now teaching adults and I watch you teaching your own children and still with your former students, really leading by example and using your hard-learned lessons to help others make sense of their own trauma, their own experiences. And unfortunately, it feels as though we have more and more students walking into our schoolhouses every day with trauma in that backpack as well. It's so important that we have people that help us understand what that feels like, what that looks like, what is helpful, what is not.
I have been on this journey for 18 and a half years, and some of the most rewarding moments over the past probably 8 years has been seeing my students that sat right beside me that day, that held my hand that day, to slowly watch them move from victim to survivor. And I can't tell you how many times I tear up. And it's in Walmart where I see, you know, a lot of them. But to know that they're making it too, to know that they're going to be, and you hate to say the word okay, because, you know, okay is, but they're finding moments of happiness. And that's what I think I try to do for my own personal self, or find the moments of happiness. And then with my students to see, you know, I ran into one and a day or two ago, she just finished her associates. She is going to be starting on her, finishing up her bachelor's, and she's going to be a social worker. And I'm like, how amazing.
Wow. Talk about pain to purpose, right?
Yes.
What an amazing social worker she will make, having had to cut her own path like that.
Exactly. I'm just so proud of her. And there's so many stories like that. And luckily, my students as a collective group, several of them found their voice this past spring. And this is one that just makes my heart swell. And they held for the first time ever a healing ceremony and a walk in honor of the victims and the survivors. They worded it as all lives lost and changed forever on that day. And seeing how they have gained their confidence by claiming it and naming it. I think that's something we learn in therapy. Name it, own it, claim it, something like that. I'm still in therapy all these years later. Is amazing. It's just like, wow, I am so proud of my school babies. They are just, they're amazing for what they've done, what they've been through, the changes they're making. I'm like a mama hen and I'm just proud of them. So.
And you know, it makes me think, we always talk about this journey is not one to travel alone. And you have modeled that with your students, their families, and your community, ultimately finding a way to walk that walk together. And I know it has been challenging, beyond challenging. It's always challenging. I think there are some unique cultural aspects of your community that a lot of people maybe don't realize that are important, but that also made it hard to talk about these things, to acknowledge the need for help, to go to counseling, to have therapy, you know, all of those things. You want to talk a little bit about that challenge for you and your community?
Well, one, we're rural. You've got to, you know, Northwest Minnesota, in the middle of nowhere. Two, Red Lake is a closed reservation, which is actually so amazing. Their ancestors were so smart when it came to dealing with the U.S. government. Instead of letting them break the land up into little pieces to give to individuals, they kept it together. So the tribe owns the whole land, and it just going up there is so healing. I can't explain. It's so gorgeous. It's on a beautiful lake. So some of the generational trauma with things came into play. And sometimes when my students and I look back and talk about it, we feel like we weren't allowed to openly grieve what we needed to. We were given a lot of help in the beginning, and I think that's very important because of where we live. The counselors that came in, they weren't able to stay. And there's just not a lot of mental health. And so a lot of us, I was lucky, I was able to travel 4 hours to the Minneapolis-St. Paul area once a week for about 2 years to get therapy. But again, that's not possible for everybody. So there have been a lot of issues around that, but my students, they're strong and mm-hmm. they come from good genes and they're making it. And I'm so proud of them. So proud of them.
Oh, amazing. Oh, amazing. I think we're going to have to come back and do this again and talk more about it. There's just so much to unpack and so much that is inspiring about you and your school babies and your story. But before we do, this is your chance, Miss Dodds. It's your chance to sound off on this topic. So we talk about you having been a survivor, but what I would love for you to do is take this minute and sound off on recovery, because your journey has been one of learning how to heal, learning how to recover. So leave us with some words of wisdom.
I think the words of wisdom I have to leave you with is from a book that I was assigned in therapy by Dr. Peter Levine. And it's called Waking the Tiger. It's a healing trauma. And I think this is when I heard this, read this quote, I think this describes my journey. When a young tree is injured, it grows around that injury. Gnarly burls and misshapen limbs speak of injuries and obstacles encountered through the time and overcome. The way a tree grows around its past contributes to its exquisite individuality, character, and beauty. And when I think of that quote and I think of the injury from the trauma, but there is nothing prettier than a big old oak tree that's got a lot of big gnarls and burls and misshapes in it. And there's nothing more comforting than to go sit under a tree like that. And that really sums up my journey, that I've had to learn to grow around it, but in the end, do the work and, you know, you can be the big old oak tree.
Those are words to live by, and you are every day modeling that beauty, taking your scars and making them into beauty in the world and healing for yourself, for others, and teaching us. So I just want to thank you. This has been incredible. This has been The Sound Off with Missy Dodds. We hope you enjoyed this powerful episode of The Sound Off with Missy Dodds. Thank you to our season sponsor, the Door Security and Safety Foundation, for supporting this podcast. And thank you for listening and supporting our mission. Remember, school safety is a collective responsibility, and together we can make a difference. Subscribe now to The Sound Off to stay informed and be part of the movement for safer schools. Until next time, stay safe, everybody. Stay safe and sound.